Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Again, basement dwellers, nerds of all kind, welcome back into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of the ChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Earlier today, as we were recording an episode of the Four Corners podcast, which you will hear tomorrow, Tony and I came up with a new phrase, niplets. That's right. It's good for your niplets. Trademark, patent pending here on. Tony's he's impressed. He's impressed.
We did do that in the future.
Yeah, we're gonna trademark that in the future. Take that away from us, Spotify. You can't. All right.
They're a bunch of bluffing assholes anyway. They didn't do shit.
We're going to take your stuff down. Still there, guys.
Well, no, they're going to, like, they said they're going to suspend your account. Is suspended. You can no longer put stuff up. But then it's just like 5 hours later, I put up a show.
Yeah. They're all talk. But as you know, our good friend and fearless leader, Patrick O'Dowd, still having his vacation, hanging out with the mouse down in Orlando. He did make it off the cruise in one piece. His liver, that may be a different story entirely based on some of the information he's been giving us, but he will explain that to you guys all next week. This, of course, is episode, 291, I believe, of Bandwagon Nerds, as we are perilously close now, on the road to 300, almost there. But we have an interesting show here for you today. First off, I got to give, do we have a booing? Do you have that boo effect, Ray? Because we need to boo Ray Cash. Ray, I love you, but you got to get booed. I mean, I set up the rundown with Ray Cash in mind. He said he was going to be here. I got a story that was going to be designed about he and I talking about this. And then right before, he just big times this, like he always does. I got better things to do than hang out with you losers. Fine, Ray. That's fine. You didn't have to go there, but
I'm okay with it because I don't have to listen to you guys talk about a show I'm not watching for 20 minutes.
Well, I'm going to talk about it anyway. But,
fuck. Hopefully not for 20 minutes.
No. But it's an important kind of what happened with that show and what happened with another show. It's interesting that I think it's worth mentioning. But the first half of the show, though, we had a big event take place virtually, of course, on Netflix called their annual Ta-Dum event, which, of course, is the noise that you get when you log on to Netflix. For those of you who aren't paying attention,
it's Dave. It's To Doom.
To Doom?
I watched it this morning. Either Sophia Carson is the worst host in history for Netflix, or it's To Doom.
Let's go with To Doom. I mean, you know, we'll just do that. But we got a bunch of trailers dropped. We've got like six trailers we're going to cover here on the Trailer Park. Five of them are for Netflix, and somewhere along the way, Amazon Prime said, excuse us, don't forget, we've got something here that we got want you guys to consider. And it is, of course, very relevant to the stuff we cover on this show. But Tunny, as far as like intro music and fiddles, let's go with number. Let's drop a deuce. Let's drop the kids at the pool and go with that. Tunny, can we get that boo going again? I just want to hear it again.
Wow. Ray, Dave is not happy with you.
And I'll tell you why. This first trailer is one that Ray kind of shared in the first place, or at least he meant Ray thought about sharing this trailer, and then he forgot to actually do it, so I did it. The first trailer we got out of Netflix, and these are going in chronological release dates of chronologically when they're going to be coming out in the real world, because I kind of think it makes more sense that way. We got the trailer for Squid Game Season 3, which is the final season of Squid Game. And that show in that trailer and that series is coming back June 27th on Netflix, of course. And if you've listened to this show in the past, you already know that I have not watched any of Squid Game. That's not to say I don't want to, because I do. I hear nothing but great things about it. I have not watched any of it. I could not even tell you what is going on in this trailer or why it's impactful. Tony, have you watched any of Squid Game?
I have not. It is on my, like, I'm going to watch it. What I did watch was the reality game show that they did to take from it. So, like, I kind of get all of it. I watched To Doom this morning. I had stuff going on last night, met up with the Greenfield Boys. There's a podcast coming from that, which is like, you're going to hear some hilarious stories. You're also going to hear my real name. couldn't stop that from
some
happening.
Of us know.
But I watched To Doom this morning and I enjoyed it. Sophia Carson did a great job hosting. They did a great job of showing all the stuff. And the show basically opened with a really cool Squid Game like dance routine and number, and with, you know, all the uniforms and everything like that. It's basically, you know, every time someone gets eliminated, more money goes in and whoever's left at the end wins, but nobody really wins. And it's really mysterious on what's going on, you know, on the other side of the door. And as we get into season three, you kind of know more of the pieces that are going on. I know Patrick's a big fan, so this would have been, I'm sure we get his thoughts on that next week as well. But, you know, I can't think of the actor's name. He played Sol in Star Wars.
Yeah, on the Acolyte.
But he's the main. Yeah, he's the main character, and he's just an excellent actor. And they did a great job on To Doom bringing out all the actors, and a lot of them are Korean, and they were talking in Korean, and they had the subtitles, and it's just a huge fan base there, and just a really well-put-together, different kind of show. Something different, Dave, right? Not all these fucking Hollywood remakes. Somebody had a new idea, and they executed it, and now we're getting a third season.
Thank God. And I'm like looking up here, I'm like thinking of the stuff I watched recently that... God damn it. There's just nothing but fake trailers for Three Body Problem Season 2. I thought maybe they would have that on To Doom. They didn't. But of course, that hasn't stopped these fake assholes from... Somebody put up a fake trailer for College Hoops 2K26 today, which actually looked real at first. And I'm like, I don't think 2K is making a college basketball game.
Did you see the cover? Did you see the cover, though, for the football game?
Yeah, looks pretty
cool. With Bill Belichick is with the fishing pole. He caught the
Jordan
girl.
Yeah.
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 It's not real.
I would go with that. I would go with that. But yeah, that's all bullshitting aside. Like, I know Patrick's watched the show. I know Ray's watched the show. So I really wanted to get Ray's take on what he thought about this being the final season of Squid Game. As it turns out, I guess we'll have to wait until next week to hear from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, when do they say the third season's coming out? Did they say
June 27th?
So all right, I got 26 days to watch the first two seasons.
Yeah, I thought about doing the same thing, but I'm like, I got.
Come on, Dave. Come on. Maybe we can cover this then.
No, because Ironheart comes out on June 24th, and I know we're shifting our focus to that. But
fucking part timer makes all the rules around here, doesn't he? I'm kidding. That's Patrick. Patrick, I love you. I hope you smiled at that. That was a total joke. I mean, there's some truth to it, but no, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think I'm going to try and do that so that I can get in. At least we can have that conversation too, we're doing with The Last of Us.
It'd be a good one to watch. That's for sure. Moving on to the next trailer. Now, this is a different story entirely because this is one all up in PC Tunney and I's wheelhouse and pretty much anybody else who loved comedies in the 90s. We got the first, not teaser, but the first official trailer for a movie we are all very much looking forward to, Happy Gilmore 2, coming July 25th to Netflix. So we could actually go into excruciating detail about Happy Gilmore 2 and how much I absolutely adore this trailer. It's so good. I mean, and anybody worried about, how do you do this all these years later? It kind of makes sense now that Happy has something happens to him and he starts sucking at golf, kind of like his hockey career. But I guess him and Virginia either were married, are still married. They have a daughter. He wants to send her to ballerina school. I think that's what it was, right? Ballerina school or ballet school. Excuse me.
I think they are still, again, aren't those his four sons too? MJF is one of them.
I think so.
They have five kids, I think.
Right. John Daly does some Steiner math in this trailer, which I thought was
333%. No, John, that math is wrong. Yeah. It's 300.
Talking about what the tuition is to send the daughter to ballet school and the only way for Happy to get, it's like Rocky, I got problems, I fight. Happy, I got money problems, I got to go out there and golf.
Well, yeah, I got to save grandma's house. I got to send my daughter to ballerina school, right?
Right. And the trailer is littered with cameos of just incredible people. You got, isn't Bad Bunny's his caddy?
Yes.
Yes.
Insane. You have to bring those. And he bear hugs the fucking bag and walks away with it. It's just it's such a great movie because not just being a fan of comedy or Adam Sandler or even Netflix, but being a fan of golf, that's not really funny to people that don't golf that he didn't use the strap on the bag and that he had to remind them of it. But if you ever have golfed ever and had to carry your bag, that's hilarious to you that he picked it up like a bear hug and Happy had to go. You could use the strap. There's a strap.
And speaking of golf, we get cameos from Justin Thomas for sure.
Scotty's in there too. Scotty's, I think, in there.
Rory McIlroy. We saw him drive a shot into somebody's groinal area and it can't feel good. So you've got high powered people in the golf industry. I mean, you're talking between Scotty and Rory, one and two in the world, as far as the official world golf rankings are there. And then of course you get the big moment at the end with Happy Gilmore and Shooter McGavin reunited after. Oh, go ahead, Tony.
You want a list of all the professionals that are in this movie? And why wouldn't they want to be? How often is this spotlight of Hollywood on golf?
When did the first one come out? 94? 95? I'll look it up. Go ahead.
It's been 30 years, so it's 95. Paige Spiranek, Nancy Lopez, Nelly Korda, Lee Trevino was in the first one, guys. He's in the second one.
Yes.
Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Corey Pavin, Tony Finau, Keegan Bradley, Colin Morikawa, Ricky Fowler, John Daly, Will Zalatoris, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Jack fucking Nicklaus, who in the trailer you can see him doing the shooter guns. Where the fuck are you, Tiger?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Unless it's a secret, you're a dumb fuck for turning this down. And it's the only thing I'm mad at, even all the bullshit you've pulled over the years, Tiger, not being in this movie, and there's no fucking way Adam didn't ask him. He better be in here. It better be a surprise. Otherwise, I'm going to be pissed at Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger needs to be
in
this.
I'm sure he's really worried right now. Oh, my God, Tony's going to be mad at me now.
But, yeah, it's. I mean, that is, I mean, you could have stopped at Paige Spiranek, and I would have been in right there, to be honest, or even Nelly Korda, for that matter. But, yeah, it's got a tremendous cast. And then I do love the end of this trailer, the showdown between Shooter and Happy Gilmore, and Shooter basically saying, "You ruined my life." And Happy Gilmore says, "Why would I want to ruin the life of somebody who eats pieces
of shit for breakfast?"
Fucking tremendous. I got to figure Chris McDonald has got a much bigger role in that movie than just that scene. He has to be an integral part of it. But I like some of the stuff you see, like the kids of people who were in the first one and the actors who are no longer with us. You know, Carl Weathers, Chubb's son, who also has a wooden hand. You got the Mr. Larson, wasn't the guy who got shot in the head with the nail gun. You see his son with it, and he just crushes like a pool cue ball with his bare hand. It's like, ooh. So much to love about this trailer. Hey, guys, let's just keep piling on into July, right? Let's just keep throwing that. We got Jurassic Park Rebirth. We got Superman. We got Fantastic Four. Now we got Happy Gilmore 2. July, I said it last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago. I said July was shaping up, July 2025, shaping up to be one of the biggest movie months. I'll say, I mean, certainly since the pandemic, maybe ever, when you look at the stuff that's coming out and the heavy hitting franchises that are going to be pulling in billions upon billions of dollars.
Julie Bowen's back. Ben Stiller's back. MJF is in there.
Yep.
Ethan Kutkowski, who's from Shameless, who's one of the younger sons, is in there. Travis Kelce, we already mentioned Bad Bunny. Kid Cudi, Kim Whitley. I'm trying to think of the comedian who plays who's the comedian that plays, I gotta look it up. Lavelle something is the comedian that plays Chubb's son.
I mean it's a tremendous cast. It looks like, I mean, I think when they first announced it, we're like, what the hell is this going to be? And you know, it's a Netflix movie, so how much money are they pouring? They poured a shit ton of money in this. And I think a lot of people, I would not be surprised if a lot of these golfers wanted to be a part of this movie because of their love for the original one. And it really wasn't about the bottom line and the money involved. It was just the cultural impact that Happy Gilmore had upon golf, still having upon golf to this day.
If you're mad about them making a Happy Gilmore 2 movie, then
fuck off.
Go fuck yourself.
Yes.
No, like, period. I don't even gonna explain why.
I agree. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. Classy. Yeah, whale's vagina. Hey, if you don't like Happy Gilmore 2 being made, a whale's vagina.
That's right. Let's move on, though. And this is the outlier of all the trailers this weekend that we got, because this is the one we got from Prime. And, hey, Tony, you got that boo button again? I am just going to throw that out.
Wow.
There, you know,
yeah, I haven't watched the first season either. So we ain't
know,
got much
that's
to talk
why
about.
You're, I guess that boo could be for you. So
what? God damn it, Ray. What the fuck? You got this fucking shit flowing downhill on my head now.
It's trickle down shitstorm. We got a trailer for Gen V season 2, and this is coming. This is on Prime, coming out September 17th. Now, if you did, you know, all kidding aside, if you've listened to, I don't know if Patrick watched Gen V. I don't think he did. I know you didn't. I know Ray and I did. And absolutely loved the show as a prequel, or not even, it's not a prequel. It's
in time with the seasons releasing,
absolutely.
Actually.
It's a companion piece to The Boys. And there's, you know, and you saw at the end of what season 4 of The Boys, a couple of the big players from Gen V, you know, went and they got, I forget, they got Starlight and somebody else. And yeah, I can't remember the names of the characters in this thing, but the trailer's very powerful because, of course, we lost one of the characters in a skiing accident or something happened to one of the characters. I got to look him up. Or Tony, maybe you can look it up since you didn't watch season 1. But one of the characters, I forget his name, but Tony's going to look it up, tragically died in real life. And at the end of season 1, he and the rest of the clan of our teenage heroes were all basically taken into this part of the university called the Woods, which is where they did a whole lot of experiments on a lot of the kids, especially like Golden Boy's brother. And I'm forgetting his name too. God, it's been too long since I watched this. But anyway, the trailer came out and like Ray and I talking with Ray a little bit, he's like, I'm like, God, we kind of forgot about this one coming. He goes, well, you know, we didn't know what they're, go ahead, Tony.
Chance Perdomo.
Yeah, Chance Perdomo.
Known for portraying Andre Anderson.
Andre Anderson. And Andre was a...
tragically died on March 30th at the age of 27 due to a motorcycle accident.
Motorcycle. Not
according to reports, no other individuals were involved in the incident.
Yeah, so Chance Perdomo was Andre in the show. And he played a very key role in that. And so we really weren't sure how they were going to handle this. Now, unless you've watched season one, and I know, Tony, you haven't... There's a character who wants to know what happened to his son. That's Andre's dad. So it seems to be that Andre's father is going to take the place of Andre to a certain extent here in this one. All the main characters are back in this one. You got Shrinking Violet. You've got, or whatever name she went by in that one. There's so much to like about this trailer and just how it's riding alongside of what we're going to get. And I'm not really sure when The Boys season 5 comes out, probably what, 2026, I'm guessing is going to be my guess on this thing. I don't remember, but Tony's looking it up, but there's a lot going on. We've got a new Dean, Dean Cypher at the school, who is now taking over for all the shit that happened with Dean Shetty at the end of the,
looks like summer or fall of next year.
Okay. So this is good. This is a good.
So next Thanksgiving.
So probably about a year. Yeah, a year in advance. But it's good. You know, we get to go back to the universe of The Boys. Gen V season 2 looks like it'll be every bit as good as the first one. And it looks like they're navigating this big glaring issue as well as can be expected.
I don't know that I'm going to try and catch up to catch this while it's here, but I feel like I will watch these two seasons before the last season of The Boys. I feel like that it's a must. Do you know what I'm saying? And I, in doing that, not just for the last season of The Boys, but in the hopes that I'll still have more seasons of Gen V coming after The Boys is over so that this universe doesn't just die completely for me.
Yeah. So, you know, going and looking around the characters. So Andre Anderson, Honey mentioned him, Chance Perdomo. Some of the other main characters we saw in this trailer, Jordan Lee. His gender is pretty fluid, but he's there. Marie Moreau, who's the main character. She's the one with the blood powers. Kate Dunlap. She's one of the ones that we saw at the end of The Boys season 4 who captured Starlight and some of the other ones. She's got like Xavier levels, mind manipulation, Emma Meyer. Yeah, we got Luke Reardon. Well, he's Polarity is the name of Andre's dad. So I'm trying to think who the one guy, Sam. Sam is the brother of Pony Boy. He is the one who was experimented on viciously in the woods and really kind of had that psychotic break moment, you know, and he's the one with the most powers and probably the most dangerous of all of them. So you got to kind of keep an eye on him. And Sam and Emma, they had a thing together. So it's going to be an excellent series. I think season 2, Tony, I would implore you. Yeah. If you get a chance to just binge through season 1, I really think you would like season 2. And that's coming pretty soon. So.
No, I know. I guess. So now I got the first season of Gen V and the first two seasons of Squid Game. That's what I'm on. Top of my list.
I'm here for you, brother. I am here for you. Try and keep you entertained, my friend. All right. So Gen V coming out September 17th. Now we get into the stuff that we're not quite sure. Well, I take that back. We're sure of a couple of things, but a trailer was shared. Tony, I think you actually started to share this trailer, and then I was like, "Oh, it's in the chat." But
well,
for some dumb
reason,
none
of the stuff like why you can't pull from YouTube, put it in that chat. It usually shows the picture, so sometimes we know what it is instead of just going youtube.xphgyzv1047 9gvh.
Right. So you actually have to click on it to see what's going on. Can I just have a thumbnail? You know, is that too much?
I'm too lazy. Yeah, I'm way too lazy.
I am too. But we got Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, which is going to hit Netflix sometime in November. We don't have a specific date yet, but we do have the trailer for Frankenstein. I got to say, Tony, this trailer looks fantastic. Oscar Isaac is in this. I think he's Victor Frankenstein, right? Have you ever read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Tony?
Yes.
Okay. So you'll know that when you look at this trailer, there is a lot that they are bringing in here that is very much stripped right from the novel. You know, the stuff in the Arctic, just the presentation of things, the way that they go about the reanimation of the creature, that sort of thing. And I am all in favor of that. And I know they tried to do Mary Shelley's Frankenstein a few years ago with a movie that kind of was sort of okay. I don't know. Is this a movie or a streaming series? Do we know?
I thought it's a movie.
I'll have to look it up. But I'll turn to you. What do you think? I know horror's not your thing, but this is a little bit different, I would imagine, because of the source material, because of what we're talking about. Frankenstein's as iconic as they get as far as like stuff like this, monsters, and just, I mean, you're talking the golden age of when movies like this were first, you know, being brought out and coming to the United States and that sort of thing. This one looks phenomenal. It's got a tremendous cast. It's got a amazing director helming this thing. This one I definitely think I want to check out. How are you feeling about this one?
There was a line in there where I think it's Oscar Isaac who would be saying it, was like, in my attempt to create life, I found death, and that hooked me. I'm like, man, that is a really fucking cool fucking line. And Frankenstein's so iconic. It's not the, like, the horror that I don't like. You know, you guys know I don't not like horror. I just don't like the gory, gruesome jump scare horror. And this is not what Frankenstein is. You know what I mean? And you talk about pulling from the book, a lot of themes from the book, like fatherhood and Frankenstein being like a son and having these weird feelings attached to it. Right. And then, I always liked the interaction with the townspeople when that was a part of it. And you can see that clearly in the trailer. Guillermo del Toro is so fucking brilliant that I have no doubt we're going to rave about this after we watch it. And yeah, I am definitely going to watch it. And I like the fact that we're setting this where it should be, you know, 19th century Eastern Europe. It's exactly where Frankenstein should live.
God, I'm looking at the produced by Gary Unger. And it's spelled like my last name is. Usually, like, all the Ungers are U-N-G-E-R. I'm like, dude, I got a famous
that your
relative.
Uncle?
I hope so.
I got Jack and you got Gary.
I don't know if he's a poon slayer, but he might have some money that he could lend me. Just throwing that out there. It is going to be a movie. Ewan McGregor's in this too. Wow. Ron Perlman, Kate Blanchett. Really? No, that can't be. Oh, that's, I'm looking at something. That was a cast for Pinocchio. I'm like, what the fuck? How'd I end up on Pinocchio? Never mind. Oscar Isaac, Jacob Elrod, Mia Goth. Yeah. I mean, well, it's strong, strong.
A lot of the visuals too, from the book are translated from by Del Toro into the cinematography of this movie as well.
Yeah, they've got that Victorian feel to it. They captured that really well. I love the stuff in the Arctic because that is such an integral part of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, that everything that happens up there with the creature, with Victor.
Bernie Wrightson was the illustrator.
Yeah, this is going to be a movie. It's coming in November. This looks like, and I love what you said, Tony, the quote about in the process of creating life, I found death. That sort of thing. But also like what you were saying, it draws a very important distinction between the cool thing about horror is that it's not just one or the other sort of thing. There's various different elements of horror. There's quiet horror, which this kind of is more aligned with that, which I get the impression that you appreciate that and like that. There's, yeah, the splatterpunk sort of gory stuff as well. Demonic possession, that all that stuff. Now you got the new subgenre of AI gone wrong. But this is a movie and an area of horror that for, yeah, people like you, Tony, I get it. I get exactly what you're saying. It is a different feeling. It is more of a, it's up here. You know, it's the psychological sure. stuff that
it's the creation and then the abandonment. You know what I mean? That's the central storyline.
Yeah. I think it looks great. It's a definite must see. I love the trailer. Great visuals. They captured so much right. In this trailer, you never even see the creature's face. You don't need to. Doesn't matter. Don't need it.
You know.
Anybody who's older than like 10, you know what's going on. So, yeah, looking really, really looking forward to Frankenstein. That's going to be awesome. The next one is a coming soon sort of thing, but we didn't get a whole date on this. I know you wanted to share this one as well. Wake Up Dead Man, which is a Knives Out mystery, which I posted when I posted this yesterday in X. And here's, you know, Dave's got us some of his own shit to watch now. I've not seen any of the Knives Out movie. Not the first one, not Glass, whatever the second one was. Not Glass Onion.
So
That's a Beatles song.
I tried to watch two of them, and I don't know if I just wasn't in the right space or didn't try hard enough or whatever, and I was like, eh, okay. And I didn't watch them. I have people in my family that love them. I don't know. I'm always intrigued by it. It always feels like, oh, this should be right up my alley. I do like this cast. I thought what they did on To Doom was really cool. The skits they had for all these things was really cool. They didn't just introduce the cast and the cast said, oh, hi, please watch our show. Here's a clip. They did skits, right? So one of the producer, I can't remember, that Benoit Blanc, is that the producer of the whole thing or is that the director? I can't remember. But one of the guys who's the producer comes out and he's like, you know, you'd think this, and then one of the actors would come out and go, but you'd be wrong, and Mila Kunis would show up, you know, and then at the end, Daniel Craig shows up. So there's just a lot of really good, fun skits from To Doom, if you want to go back and or check the highlights out on YouTube. But Daniel Craig, Kaylee Spaney, Jeremy Renner, Mila Kunis, Josh Brolin, Glenn Close, Kerry Washington, Thomas Hayden Church, among a cast of other very talented actors and actresses. It's about the surprise. It's about, you know, misdirection, and they've been highly successful.
Ryan Johnson is the director. Of course, I think he is more notable for being the director of The Last Jedi, polarizing.
Yes, Ryan Johnson.
Polarizing though that movie was, except in the opinions of Mr. O'Dowd, who thinks it's the best of the sequel trilogy, and he's entitled to his opinion, wrong though it may be. But that's okay. I freely admit I need to watch the Knives Out series. My wife raves about it. The second one was called Glass Onion. Here I was thinking, that's a Beatles song, which it is.
That was the Batista one.
Yeah.
First one had Halloween. Oh, Jamie Lee Curtis. I think Jamie Lee Curtis, yeah. Batista. I think Daniel Craig was in the last one too, though. Has he been in all of them?
I think he's been in all of them. He's been the main character. Okay. So definitely movies I need to check out. Tony's not going to add those to his list that I've already given him, but I'll add those to mine.
I think they're already on my list. Half this all on my list.
My list keeps growing as well. It's like, God, this list is just never going to go away. They just keep adding stuff to it. Keep finding more stuff to watch. Yep. Exactly.
You just made the list.
Tom Brady, you just made the list. Yeah, this looks like a good one. I gotta get caught up with that. But let's go to the main event, the one that really got me interested, because there were rumors all week that this was coming. It's not an official trailer, or not even really a teaser per se, but we got an announcement at To Doom about Stranger Things Season 5. And there is footage from Season 5, don't get me wrong. But this trailer was more about announcing the dates for when when season 5 is coming out, which is the final season of Stranger Things. And we've been waiting for a very long time for any sort of information about this. And I got to say, Netflix's release schedule is brilliant. Brilliant strategy by you guys. Volume 1 of season 5 will come out on November 26th, which I'm pretty sure is Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, I have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that's Thanksgiving weekend. Volume 2, Christmas. Everybody's going to be home. What do you want to do? Watch Santa? Hell no. I want to watch Stranger Things.
November 26th is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
So it's Thanksgiving Eve. So, you know, you can get done watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and binge Volume 1 of Stranger Things. Volume 2, like I said, Christmas Day, Christmas Story mixed in with a little blood. It's always good. And then the series finale, New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. Now, I don't know if that's going to persuade people to stay at home on New Year's Eve. I'll already be there. I'll be wanting to see it. Tony, I know I'm going to add something else to your list to watch because you haven't watched any Stranger Things.
Won't ever watch this.
No? Why?
Nope. I can't explain to people, but decisions in my head happen really fast. And I have way too much stuff to catch up on. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure I'd like it, but it's not a priority for me. And I just, maybe someday, but right now it's not anywhere near my radar.
It's phenomenally good, Tony, especially for somebody like you who loves the 80s, you know, and that 80s nostalgia. It's got all that and spades. I know Patrick's watched it. He's a big fan. So we're both kind of looking forward to this. I'm glad we have a release schedule. It's a ways off, you know. Thanksgiving is still a good, what, how many months? 6 months away from us right now? So we've got a ways to go before we're going to be getting, and they didn't say how many episodes are in each volume, you know, and I don't know if we know how many episodes are in each volume, but you got to see, you know, the first half of the trailer was more kind of like reminiscing on certain various events that have happened the first four seasons of the show. You know, the Will getting abducted in season one, which is of course, the critical central part of all of season one. And then you bring in all the other characters, you know, Max, the brother, Eddie from last year or last season.
Eight episodes
a season.
So I'll bet you they'll give you four, three, and then one.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I don't think because like the last episode of season four was like an hour and a half, damn near 2 hours long for an episode, which is like, I mean, even Game of Thrones didn't pull shit like that off. So, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see more of it. There's some, you know, really disturbing visuals at the end of the trailer that gets you thinking. There's a scene with Will screaming for everybody to run twice and gets more blood curdling each second that he says it. It's like, okay, something big is heading this way. And we've already seen so many big things in the show. Like, what is really going on? Questions will be answered in about 6 to 7 months.
So the kind of thing they did for this On to Doom was they had three of the main characters, three of the kids, come out and sit on a couch and like dust off like videotapes and put them in. And they were showing clips of them interacting behind the scenes in the first couple seasons. So you have these young adults sitting on the couch and you're going back and watching from the first and second season outtakes behind the scenes of these literal little kids starting this franchise. So it's a really cool thing to watch On to Doom. They did a really cool segment with the Stranger Things reveal.
Yeah, they were very young when the series started, and they have all, you know, like a lot of these series go, they've all kind of grown into their roles. And, you know, you see how they've evolved, how they've grown. A lot of them have gone on and done other things. Millie Bobby Brown was, you know, nowhere near the star that she's evolved into now when the show started. And she showed up as 11 is still her name. Her name's now Elle. But just this unassuming kind of quiet kid with this telekinetic ability. And look at her. I mean, she's just evolved into an entire, you know, one of the leading young female actress, whatever you want to call them, in the world right now. So it's kind of cool to see how that's evolved. I can't wait for season five. 6 months is a long time to wait, but at least we've got a hard and fast date that we can work with for Stranger Things, the final season. That's going to do it, kids. The trailer park, we're done. You know, six trailers that we covered, two of them involving final seasons of two of the most popular shows anywhere in the world, especially on Netflix. You think about Squid Game and Stranger Things ending? Wow. That's big time.
Huge.
That's
big time.
That's huge. It's huge. And then you got Gen
V. Really big. Some of the greatest series ever.
Thank you, Donald. You're right. It is what it is. But we are going to take our first commercial break. Then we're going to get some news around the Nerdosphere. We got a few things to talk about. Tony's going to let you know about where you can get your hands on all that sweet chair shot merch, because it feels really good on your nipplets. There's that word again.
Hey, if you're looking to cover them nipplets up, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of super cool wrestling designs, cool t-shirts, great phrases, make you the person of attention at whatever gathering you go to. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We'll be right back here on Bandwagon Nerds, part of the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Oh, welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds, guys. Hope you enjoyed the discussion about the trailer park. I urge everybody, like Tony was saying, go check out To Doom. Lots of information, lots of cool stuff there, lots of trailers, lots of stuff happening on Netflix. Netflix continues to rule the world. And I mean, yeah,
there were so many shows that they had reveals of upcoming seasons and clips and cool stuff they did with the cast that I don't even watch on Netflix. That was pretty cool. And in honesty, like that show, did you watch all of To Doom or no?
No.
It's for young adults. It's YA, and they even talk about it. They even talk like these four different shows that are for young adults they bring out. The one show we didn't talk about that's really big on Netflix, though, that I don't know that any of us are watching before we move completely on here, is One Piece. One Piece is like this fantasy pirate kind of show thing, and it's taken off and it's really been big on Netflix. So I think Patrick's been watching that. I'm not sure.
You mentioned other big things. They did release the first 6 minutes of Wednesday season two.
Lady Gaga has an amazing performance to close the show with the whole Wednesday thing, and she is a part of the cast coming up. You know, they had Jenna Ortega and Luis Gomez, is it right? And a couple of the other cast members.
Have you watched any of Wednesday yet?
No, that's something that is on my list actually as well, because I'm a huge Addams Family guy. I've talked many times about like being so lucky to have grandparents take me to the movie theater from like 5, 6 through like teenager, and going to see the Addams Family was amazing with Christopher Lloyd, you know, and everybody else in that one.
I tell you, Tony, hit that boo button again. This is for me and you though this time.
Why? Oh, because we haven't watched it yet.
Right, because we haven't watched Wednesday. Hey,
I think we need to give ourselves a break though, because we do like 500 shows. We have to watch 800 things.
I know. I'm just saying, we're equal opportunity here, guys. We will boo ourselves. I know I need to watch Wednesday, especially season one. With season two coming, you got the first 6 minutes. I'm not sure when season two drops officially on Netflix, but it's got to be pretty damn soon. So if you are a fan, if you watch it, I know a lot of people are, go check out the first 6 minutes there on Netflix. But you know what? On the rundown today, as we get into this next story, literally the rundown says Dave and Ray discuss The Last of Us. So, Tony, with that boo button again, can you give some love to Ray?
Wearing this button out.
I think Patrick would be proud of us for taking the initiative here today with this berating of Raymond S. Cashington.
Don't roll. I'm just the mechanical arm pushing the button. You're calling the shots, pal.
I know. We love you, Ray. I just wish you were here, especially for this part, because Ray messaged me after the season finale of The Last of Us, said, "Have you seen it?" I'm like, "No." And he says, "Whoo boy." The season finale aired a week ago, and I love the season finale. We're not spoiler free, so screw it. And Tony's probably not going to watch this. So the whole season finale is very interesting because it's all about Ellie being driven by this sense of this need for revenge, retribution against Abby for killing Joel. And Ellie does makes some bad decisions. And it's done in a way that it's not just like a bad decision to create drama that keeps the show going. These are just bad decisions in general, as far as knowing what you should be doing and then kind of going in the opposite direction. And she barely escapes with her life from the scars. I forget what their actual name is in the show. Ray would know, but of course Ray's not here, so I got to just call him the scars. That's fine. So after she escapes barely with her life there, you would think time to turn around and get the hell out of here. No, she's singularly minded, gets back in that motorboat, goes across the channel in Seattle, or probably the Puget Sound for all I know, to the Ferris wheel where she believes Abby is, and things go horribly wrong from there. And the season ends on a cliffhanger as Abby finds Ellie and takes out poor Jesse, who, just confessed that he would have gone to the ends of the earth for Ellie. He gets gunned down. And then this season kind of sort of ends with the belief that Abby may have shot Ellie and maybe either wounded her or killed her. But we end with Abby looking out over whatever the Seattle Seahawks stadium is. It used to be Quest Field, but I don't know what it is now. But they've turned this into a whole production facility for whatever they're doing in Seattle. And the Wolves have got this much bigger operation than we thought. Lots of speculation season three will be all about Abby, because they ended like going back and saying Seattle day one. We've seen Seattle day two and Seattle day three in the show so far. So phenomenal show. Love the episode. The cliffhanger was just like, man, you guys are really going to end this shit there. Yes, we are. However,
I am very much an NFL aficionado. The Seattle Seahawks stadium currently is called Lumen Field.
Lumen Field. So Lumen Field, 30 some years earlier, gets turned into, I don't know what they're using it for, but it's clear what it's being used for. So like season three will be about Abby. But what I wanted to touch bases on, and this story ties into the next one. And it's like warning signs, I think, because the season finale of The Last of Us lost like 2 million viewers from the season premiere. That's a pretty big jump, pretty big drop, excuse me. The folks at HBO Max, tried to spin this into saying, well, the viewers weren't there because it was Memorial Day weekend. We'll get them back. They didn't. Those viewers just didn't tune in. And they, you know, some of them maybe came back, but they didn't. And I shared with you an article, and this guy's got the same concern that I do, that will we get, you know, does the fact that they lost that many viewers, is that a problem? Does that jeopardize season 3 and season 4 of The Last of Us? I don't think it impacts season 3 because yeah, you lost 2 million. You still had over 3 million people tune in for that finale. Those are strong numbers for HBO Max to build off of. But it's the reasons behind why when I go online and I look at comments of people and I try and figure out what's really going on with the show, why did they lose so many people? There's a couple of factors. One, you killed your main character in the second episode when they took out Pedro Pascal's character. Yeah, and people are like, we were just following the game, which is true. And there's a buttload of people who say you should have deviated because he was your big star. Okay, maybe that has something to do with it. The part that bugs me are the the anti-establishment, the people claiming that they checked out because, oh, this is just woke bullshit. And I got to say, the second that Ellie, who's, you know, gender-wise, as far as her birth biology, female, clearly, is involved with a girl in this show. She's pregnant with Jesse's kid. Jesse just died at the season finale. But when Ellie said, I'm going to be a dad. Tony, I'll just tell you, you would not believe how many people I saw literally check out of this show at that exact moment. And I'm like, why are we all hung
up on that? I saw that clip.
What did you think of that? I mean,
I don't know nothing about the series, but like, that's just being involved. Like, I don't find anything wrong with that. Like wanting to take responsibility and be a part of family. Right. Like my parents got divorced before I was 3. So like I have had a stepdad and a stepmom and stepbrothers and step cousins and uncles and aunts. And just that didn't bother me at all.
You would not believe how many people had the backlash that one line got, because it's not enough that we've got a homosexual lesbian relationship going on here in the show. Now you're calling yourself a dad, and people just mind.
Yeah, I think people need to understand that families come in all different shapes and sizes, and that's not even when you factor in, you know, going outside of the biologically connectedness of people, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of dads who wouldn't be called father. And there's a lot of fathers who are not necessarily biologically someone's dad. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's stupid. I think it's like, come on. You know, I mean, this is an area that we don't understand. But, you know, the whole, oh, this is woke, I got to protest and go watch something else. Well, see you later. The problem is, though, of course, that when you have a drop in viewership of that magnitude on one of your tentpole shows on your network, that's not a good look, whatever the reason is behind it, because.
But what side of the aisle do you think about when you think about zombie apocalypse, getting ready for an apocalyptic bomb shelter gathering? Like, what side of the aisle do you think of? I don't think of the liberal side. I think of the conservative side. So it's not a surprise that there's probably a large majority of conservatives watching this show due to the nature of it, because they've been missing what they've been missing since The Walking Dead. And now they get some liberalistic woke thing that they label that way. Well, it's not a surprise, right? No. Am I connecting the dots the same way you are?
It is a fair opinion and conclusion to draw. That's for sure, because it is, you know, zombie apocalypse, survivalists, that sort of thing. It's like, this shit would never happen to me because I got myself a Smith & Wesson, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know.
I, for the record, I used my own natural accent this entire time.
I know, but I grew up in the South. So every once in a while, it'll come out in moments like this. I don't know, whatever the reasons behind it, whether you're on the left, whether you're right, this is not the show that you want to die on a political hill on, because we're talking about, I mean, it is kind of a zombie apocalypse, but it's different kind of zombies. It's cordyceps.
Right.
It's a real fungus. There's some stuff in the show that you look at the current world picture and you start
It's still apocalyptic, you know, bombshell.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.
Sure. You know, I need a chainsaw and a shotgun.
And you're still fighting zombies. These things want to bite you and infect you. That sort of thing. So, that's not the issue. But whatever the issue is, whatever side of the fence you're on, whether you were offended by Ellie saying she was going to be a dad, should she just have said, if she said, oh, I'm going to be a mom, but she's still involved in a lesbian relationship, would that have made it any better? I don't know. I've got no opinion on that. What I do know is that as volatile as HBO Max is with their policies and the shit that they do, they are not going to stand for a 2 million person drop in viewership for very long, if at all. Does this jeopardize season 3? I think
season 3 happens no matter what.
I think you're right. I think they want to tell Abby's story. They want to get to the point that they can tell about the interaction of Abby and Ellie, because fans of the game are waiting for that. And they were all hoping that we get that in season 2, and we didn't really get that. So that's a thing. I think season 3 is in the bag. But they need to go into season 3 with the mindset as a contingency plan of perhaps we film this like it is going to be the last season. Now, they wanted a 4-season plan was their vision. I think they need to go into season 3 erring on the side of caution and maybe film it like it is the last season, because of the next thing I wanted to talk about. And these two stories are very similarly aligned. The Wheel of Time, very, very, very popular book series. Robert Jordan wrote like 14 books. Wheel of Time season 3, critically acclaimed, 97% rating on like Rotten Tomatoes, highest rating of any season yet. They seem to be finding their groove after some trouble with the first season, and the second season was better. In the third season, the production values were really good. The special effects had improved drastically over season 1. They ended that on a place where it was definitely not a natural ending, because you could tell there's much more story that we want to tell here. And they ended it in kind of like a place we're looking at and saying, that was kind of awkward. And it turns out that Amazon has now canceled the Wheel of Time series. There's multiple reasons for this. Declining viewership was a big problem. The increase in production costs, because you got to also remember, Amazon Prime is producing this little show called The Rings of Power, Lord of the Rings, Tunney's favorite franchise. But that notwithstanding, Tunney recognizes how much money Amazon is putting into The Rings of Power, a shit ton. And now Wheel of Time was starting to up their production costs, their production values, making the show look better against this backdrop of declining viewership. And it's another show that has been plagued by some of this anti-woke nonsense that you hear. I don't want to get too political. And if you're one of the anti-wokers, whatever you want to call it, or whatever the fuck you want to say, that's up to you. But people are complaining in this show about...
Yeah. You know what though, Dave? I just want to say, I am like the resident Republican on this show.
You are.
And I am. I lean a little bit to the right, even though, like, personally, I lean a little bit to the left. I had to throw the joke in there.
I was about to ask you.
Did you catch that one?
Short,
here's the thing, though. Like,
short shriveled into the left, kids.
Jerry, does she know about shrinkage? Where'd you get those lobsters, Kramer? Anyway, it's just stupid. It is. Like, and I'm more middle. I like government size wise, I lean to the right. Right. But like, I don't love the phrase woke, but I do like thinking that people with an open mind are going to have a much better time in life than people that don't.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a societal story. Me personally, I don't give a shit who you love. I don't care if you love guys, if you love girls, more power to you. As long as you're happy and you're not hurting anybody, what the fuck do I care? It's none of my business. And it shouldn't be any of anybody else's business. And if you know, but of course, they want to shove this gay agenda down our throats. Nobody's shoving it down your throats. And watch the story for what it is. So there is a little bit of that. I mean, there's this other dumb stuff that there was an elf in there who was black. People online complained about that shit. All this to say that.
Listen, today's the first day of Pride Month, too, by the way.
But I think the reason I wanted to tie these two shows together is Amazon is much more stable and tolerant of fluctuations in a show's viewership than HBO. I mean, we're talking David Zasloff versus Jeff Bezos. So there is no real comparison there. If Amazon will pull the plug on something, because especially when it seemed to be catching its stride because of mostly declining viewership, that does not bode well for The Last of Us on the worst possible network you could be on. For a show trending downward.
So you guys want the fourth season, right? Obviously, if you love a show so much like this, you want as much as you can get of it. But think about how slimmed down the amount of content on Max is compared to what it used to be over the last 2 years. You're really going to lose this series? People might not watch it like they did, but they were really watching it. So even if it's just half, that's still going to be better than 90% of the shit you got
it's
on there.
Still 3.75 million or something. I think that was the number for the season finale. And sure, the season premiere at 5.3 million. And you lost some of these people along the way. And that's fine. That is still got to be.
Way better than Lock and Key season 3, dude, right?
Even the most delusional, diehard AEW fans who swear that they're getting 1 million views per week on Max for Dynamite. Here's a newsflash. You're not. You're talking three times. Let's say they were getting 1 million on Dynamite, which we know they're not. But let's just throw it out there for shits and giggles. You're talking triple the numbers, even with a big loss in viewership. Max has got nothing on it that I can think of that matches that kind of number. That is their anchor store. Well, that's their Macy's, right?
Toss the Dragon.
When it's going, yeah, sure. When it's going, right. Absolutely. And House of the Dragon is like, there's another one that, you know, we're going to get a third season of that. We know that. They want to go beyond that. But if they see the same sort of like downward trend.
Well, here's the problem with that thing is there's so many stories to tell in that universe. And they're already multitasking now with. You know, what we're doing with the knight in the king's realm, the hedge knight.
Sure.
So like we're already double dipping there, which is great. Just to add context.
It's a good context to add, but I guess what I'm wondering and asking you is shows like this that are dealing with this fantasy based stuff where maybe they are dabbling in areas where the people leaning far to the right who may be watching this are going to get offended and tune out. Do shows or for whatever reason, production values are too high. Viewership fluctuates, that sort of thing. Shows like The Last of Us, House of the Dragon is a really good example, Tunney. And I want to ask you this. Do you think these shows, when they get to around season 3, because going beyond a third season in any show that we can think, like The Witcher's going to a fourth season, they probably shouldn't. I think we've all agreed they probably should have stopped at 3. Tunney's looking at me. He's actually taking his glasses off because he knows that we're going to make him watch season 4 and he's going to, hey, Tony, look, it can't be worse than 1995 WWF.
I would like to offer you and Patrick a precursory fuck you guys for making me watch it.
Did you hear what I said? I said,
no, it's all part of the.
I said, it can't be as bad as 1995 WWF. So, you know,
you want to know what's funny is I think some of the most entertaining content in the history of this bandwagon nerd show could possibly come from covering the fourth season. I think so.
I mean, we survived.
It's going to be bad. This is going to be bad.
It is.
I mean, when you change your main character and it's an iconic actor in the, you know, fantasy realm, like get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, unless you're completely resetting like DC is with David Cornsweet versus Henry Cavill.
No, but they're passing him off as the same person from the last season you just watched, right? Like,
that's right.
That's not Becky on Roseanne. That's a different Becky.
But I guess, you know, what I'm wondering is, do you think these shows like The Last of Us, like Game of House of the Dragon, big ticket shows, you know, big production values, big budgets, that sort of thing. Do you think that when they get around season 3, that they need to start now future-proofing their storylines and maybe make it so that you go into season three thinking, we're going to film this like it's our last. And if it's not, then we'll... Because I adamantly, going back to Stranger Things, like I always thought season four was going to be the end. And I don't know, like, I think Pat was the one who wisened me up to it. It's like, no, I think they're actually going for a fifth season because they did so many things in season four with these long episodes, like it, like Game of Thrones final season with an hour and a half, 2 hour episodes and shit. And I'm just wondering, you know, like, was the plan to end Stranger Things at season four? And then they got such a positive reaction. So now let's go one more year. Is the inverse possibly true with a show like this? Should they be looking and should they be future-proofing their storylines and act once you get beyond season two, going to season three thinking, look, we need to act like this is our last season because it just might be. But that's my question to you. But I am concerned about anything beyond a season three for Last of Us right now.
So first, my mind goes to what I've watched the most in my life and being able to follow as far as extending seasons and when this series is going to end, and it's sitcoms, right? Throughout my entire life, I've watched so many fucking sitcoms from start to end, wondering how many more seasons we're going to get, etc., etc. It's just different with streaming, and it's different with a show that's more than 22 and a half minutes without commercials, right? When you're on streaming, you're like, even your half hour shows, they're fucking half an hour. Like in your hour shows, you're like 52 minutes right in there. To me, and this isn't 100%, this is like an overall synopsis. The sitcoms that went really long, a lot of number of seasons, character driven, the changes and the development and the overall arc of the character. The most successful streaming series, storyline driven. And that's the difference. When the network stops believing in the story, especially if it isn't already laid out, right? Like we're sitting here with Game of Thrones, like that's never, story's never going to be finished because the guy won't finish the books, right? So you have those kind of two different dynamics. I don't know. I think there's so much data that we don't know and probably age groups that are really specific to what they need that may be disintegrating as far as viewership, but all those factors into one.
I think you're right. I tend to concur with you, Tony. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I think, you know, I imagine they've already filmed season three of Last of Us, so we'll see if they make any modifications.
Like, think about Law and Order. What's the first thing you think of? Do you think of the stories, or do you think of Mariska Hargitay's character and the bald guy that her partner who was in and out, right? You think about the characters that have for the shows that have been around for a long time. You think about the characters.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see what happens, man. I still absolutely love Last of Us. It is not on the level of Andor. I'll just say that right now. I know for a long time, I was very spoiled having both of those shows running simultaneously. Andor is a superior shoe, as Tunney would say, just straight up. The shoe, the cheese is old and moldy, kids. So there you go.
Sally sells seashells down by the seashore.
All right, let's take our second and final commercial break. When we come back, we got some casting news. One of the biggest franchises in history, the reboot, has got the big casting that we've all been waiting for. And we've got even bigger news. DC and Marvel working together? Yes, indeed. But we will talk about that on the other side of this commercial break. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds, guys. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Tony and I navigated around the political and sociological minefield of that last discussion very well, like a fish, like a salmon swimming upstream, like the salmon of Capistrano or something like that. Sounded better.
Sounds good to me.
It does. It sounded better in my head before it came out, but that's all right. You know, that'll happen. That's what she said. That is what she said. So we got big news this week coming from, whether I agree with it or not, and I don't, but it's going to happen no matter what Big Dave thinks about this shit or not. Harry Potter, the HBO Max reboot all that stuff. Casting has been an issue with this show already because people are assholes. We can't have a Black Severus Snape, I guess, even though he is a tremendous actor. But hey, let's be racist assholes about it. I got to get off my soapbox today. But anyway, whatever you think about this show, do you think it's a good idea for this show to be done or not? They have cast the triplets. The big, no, not the Dallas Cowboys triplets, not Troy, Emmett, and Michael Irvin. The Harry Potter triplets have been cast. Arabella Stanton cast as Hermione Granger. Alistair Stout cast as Ron Weasley. And Dominic McLaughlin has been cast as Harry Potter. I don't know anything about these actors. I don't know if they're any good or not. What I do know, Tunney, and what I put in the rundown is, the question I have is, do these kids have a hope in hell of succeeding? Because, God, you're trying to, I've said it before, you are rebooting a franchise that, in my opinion, is way too soon to even think about rebooting. The last Harry Potter movie, 13 years ago. Okay, we're out a decade. Time to reboot it. You're also talking about three of the most iconic performances in this nerdy sort of genre that we love to cover, right? You know, you're talking Daniel Radcliffe as Harry Potter. This kid, Dominic McLaughlin, I'm like, looking at these pictures. Okay, Alistair Stout is a ginger. Is that's the criteria for Ron Weasley? I don't know. I don't know if he can act or not. Maybe he can. I hope to be pleasantly surprised. You know, Arabella Stanton as Hermione. Okay, see that. Dominic McLaughlin, though, this poor kid. Holy shit. Trying to be the next Daniel Radcliffe, which is, of course, the wrong way to look at it. He needs to be the first Dominic McLaughlin and make Harry his own, not, you know, try and replicate what Daniel Radcliffe did, because you're not going to be able to. But it's just like this reboot of one of the most popular and beloved series of all time. And I'm just looking at these kids and they're fresh faced and they're smiling and they're happy, and they should be. They should be. We should celebrate these kids. They are walking into literally the lion's den, because, yeah, there's people like me who think this is a bad fucking idea, but I'm going to be kind of nice about it. A lot of people aren't. And these kids, I mean, we've seen how vicious fan bases can be. Ask anybody, you know, the guy who played, who played Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks. Ask him about it. The gal who played Rose in The Last Jedi. Ask her about it. These kids are going to get crucified by a lot of the fan base, Tunney. I mean, what do you think about this? You never watched the Harry Potter movies, I don't think. No, you didn't. So
this is the Bandwagon Nerds, where we talk about all the things that Tunney's never watched that are super popular.
That notwithstanding, the fact that you haven't watched this is almost irrelevant to this conversation, because
definitely
you are talking about, whether you've seen it or not, it is one of the most popular franchises in the history of the world. 8 movies. They kept the cast together for the entirety, with the exception they had to replace Richard Harris, who passed away after the second movie as Dumbledore, with Michael Gambon, I think is the name of the guy who took over for him. Phenomenal actor. So you've got that. They kept the kids together, though. You got to see these kids grow up. I can't imagine HBO Max is going to have these kids stick around for 8 years. It's just not. We already talked about Max's problems. And if this thing flops viewer wise right off the bat, because a lot of people are like, fuck that, it's not my Harry Potter, you got problems. But I do go to you, though. You haven't seen the show or the movies. I don't know if you read the books or not. Probably not. They're not maybe not in your wheelhouse. But yeah, man. What do you think about these kids? They have been cast in the role of a lifetime if they can pull this off. But man, I feel bad for them, because they are going to get put through the ringer. What do you think about this?
I was hoping at some point today I was going to get to talk about something I've been personally working on. I have a Paul, I have a George, and I have a Ringo. I'm just looking for a John, because I'm going to remake the Beatles with new people.
Good luck.
That sounds just as fucking dumb as what you just told me they're doing with Harry Potter, doesn't it?
And yeah, I wish Pat was here, because I know he would play devil's advocate with me, and that'd be fine.
Because he would say the parents of the people who were kids when this was out are parents now, and they get to take their kids to a new iteration.
True.
Well,
true.
Here, I have a solution for you. Why not do it first with animation? Retell the story with animation, and then you take these kid voice actors that grow up, and you continue the story where you left off with adults. And that way you have familiarity with the kids coming in and then doing the movies later. I don't think any of it needs to be redone. My sister is 7.5 years younger than me, and I remember her reading the books, watching the movies. Huge fan, right? It just wasn't.
What does she think?
I was a little bit older than that. Well, I have no idea what she thinks of the reboot. I haven't talked to her about it. But I don't know. I'm sure there's fans that are just like, give me anything because I love it so much. And I'm sure there's fans that are like, I don't want anything but those people that's just like blasphemous. So I'm sure you're going to find that range.
I love the show. I love the movies. I love the books even more. And the movies were, you know, as truthful an adaptation as you could probably do with some of the problems that the books created, as far as like, you know, like the very end and how Harry defeats Voldemort. And well, how are they going to portray that on the screen? And they did a pretty good job with that. I just think rebooting the series, and like you're saying, it is tantamount to trying to replicate the Beatles with those three, with the Harry Potter fan base. People like me are going to look at these kids like, I don't know. I've always thought, why couldn't we have done The Story Continues after, you know, after the last scene from the last movie where one of Harry's kids goes
because
off to Hogwarts.
Because people would want those three actors.
Well, I mean, but you didn't. I mean, you could have got a cameo or something, maybe. I mean, Emma Watson, yeah, she's popular in Hyde. Rupert Grint isn't doing a whole lot right now. Daniel Radcliffe, okay. All right, that might be tricky. That might be tricky for sure. But
you know the number of fucking trucks you'd have to back up to his house to get him to play that fucking character again? It's probably ridiculous.
Call Tony Khan. He'll pay him. I mean, Jesus, he pays everybody else. So
I wanted money in the trucks, not cocaine, Dave.
Sorry about that. No, I've always thought, ever since they announced this, like, you could have done stuff with the kids. And you're right. They would have had to get the parents involved at some point, but you could have gotten away with it. Even if you didn't want to shell out that kind of money, you could have gotten away with it. But the idea, and maybe that's what they're doing. They're trying to establish this new storyline with these kids because they're going to tell the stories quicker and then get to the sequels, or not that there are any sequels, but get to what happens afterwards. You know, J.K. Rowling has her own fucking issues. We all know that going on. She's not exactly real popular with a lot of people right now. But all that notwithstanding, all that aside, whether they should be doing this, whether they should have done, like I said, and done the story that comes after, it's just, I just look at these three kids and I'm like, oh man, I really hope that people have talked to them about what they are walking into, because it's probably going to be ugly. The backlash will be very strong. It won't come from me. I may not watch the damn thing because I'm set in my ways and I don't agree with this decision. But you will not hear me jump on X saying, fuck these kids. I'll leave that to John Cena. He can do that. Lots of wrestling references here. Sorry, Pat. But it kind of goes together. But yeah, I feel bad for the kids. I don't think they have a hope in hell of having a lot of fun with this for the next few years. But maybe I'm wrong. And maybe the show will be better than I think it possibly could be. Maybe it will somehow, some way, improve upon the originals. I don't think so.
There needs to be a specific difference that separates something and differentiates it, where you go, okay, I can get on board here.
There does, but there also needs to be that familiarity too, right? Because
regardless, then the name alone is you're familiar.
You got to keep
now,
certain
give me
things.
It a different tell it from a different perspective or something. I don't know.
Right. You got to keep certain things, because you got to remember they've got this massive IP at Universal Studios where they just opened a third Harry Potter. So you got to keep Hogwarts. You got to keep the Ministry of Magic. You've got to keep like core locations and things like that in place. But I think you're right. Put your own stamp on this thing. You know, this actor who I forget who they got to play Severus Snape. Is he going to be able to match Alan Rickman's performance? Probably not, but he can make it his own performance and turn Snape into his own character. And maybe that resonates differently with an entirely different crowd. Cool. I'm all for it. You know, saying he can't match up because his color of his skin does not match Alan Rickman's is stupid.
Oh, that's, yeah, stupid was the word that came to my mind.
Yeah, it's irresponsible and stupid. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I saw they cast the three kids, and I was like, the first thing that jumped in my mind was like, these poor kids. I don't envy their position. I do envy their paycheck. I do envy their paycheck, honey. That part I would trade with them. You know, come at me, bro. I'd be like, yeah, come on. Tell me that I don't look like Harry. I know I don't. And I'm cool with it. Pay me.
Money talks.
Money talks. Bullshit walks. Speaking of stuff that we didn't think we'd ever see happen again, but we are. We've talked about this so many times on this show over the past 5, 6 years, however long we've been doing it at this point. I think this is our sixth year. Fifth year. Wouldn't it be cool if Marvel and DC had a crossover? Wouldn't it be great if we went back to, like, you know, the old days where we had... What's up, Tony?
We're in our sixth year.
We are in our sixth year. You're right. But we've talked about this. You know, wouldn't that be really cool if we could get, like, JLA Avengers on the silver screen, and the unlikeliness of that happening unless one company bought the other one and you had all the properties under one roof, like Disney bought the rights to DC or that sort of thing. But we also forget that, you know, years ago, DC and Marvel, as incredulous as it seems, did work together. There were many crossover stories. JLA Avengers is one of my favorite comics of all time. I know Pat doesn't dig it nearly as much as I do. That's okay. It's my preference. We had Marvel versus DC, which was very similar. We had all sorts of cool crossovers. We had Superman and Spider-Man teaming up. We had, like, Batman and Captain America teaming up. We had New Titans and I forget, like, I don't think it was like a New Teen Titans and, like, I forget, Fantastic Four or something. Silver Surfer and Green Lantern, they had to team up. And now we have news that, and I don't think it's actually relatively new news per se, but we have the return of Marvel and DC, as incredible as it seems, working together, Tony. They are working together. And we are about to get a crossover. And I'm trying to pull this up. Okay, here it is. I got it. Okay. So we've got, they're joining forces. Okay. It's a one-shot crossover special featuring Batman and Deadpool. It's the first time that Marvel and DC have worked together in more than 20 years. They aren't stopping with Deadpool and Batman. Deadpool, Batman, number one, Batman, Deadpool, number one. So the title just reversed. Number one's on
each. Well, DC's releasing it with Batman ahead of the title. Marvel's going to release it with Deadpool ahead of the title.
That's fine. That's fine. But I don't know.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. I'm not sure when. Let's see. When is that coming out? I'm trying to figure. Batman, Deadpool, the headline. First Marvel and DC crossover in 22 years. Wow. I mean, before we get into kind of the fantasy booking part of this thing, has this come out? I don't know.
You look for that. I don't think they've set the date. I think they just got the wheels in motion. The funnest thing about this article on IGN was, if you went to the bottom of the article, they had a poll that you could vote in. What, like, which of these scenarios would you most look forward to? Right. So I voted, not necessarily with my first choice, but with something I would like to see. A Wonder Woman and Thor kind of love story would be really cool, I think. But you want the percentages. Here we go. Batman Daredevil story, 26.8% of the vote. Teen Titans Young Avengers, 2.5. Green Lantern Silver Surfer, 4.1. Naomi and Ms. Marvel, 0.5%. Thor and Wonder Woman, 6.8%. Blue Beetle and Spider-Man, as interesting as it sounds, just under 3%. Hellblazer and Punisher, 7% of the voters are looking forward to that. New Gods and Eternals, not so much. We're at 1.5%. Justice League and the X-Men, 18.8%. And in second place, which I really would like to see, and Dave, I bet you're on the same thing, is called Secret Crisis. It would be an amalgamation of Secret Wars and Crisis on Infinite Earths with the crossover. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm looking at the poll right now. Batman, Daredevil, I mean, that makes sense. Secret Crisis. Justice League X-Men is up to 19.3%.
Is it now? Yeah.
And we've got Justice League Avengers in the past. But yeah, Justice League and X-Men, ooh, that's got some definite interesting sort of things going on with it, with those kind of characters. But Batman, Daredevil, of course, makes all the sense in the world because they are the same character. They really are the same character. You're talking about two characters who won't, they have this code they won't kill. Both of them, family tragedy. Batman forged by his parents' murder. Daredevil forged by his dad's murder. Both of them, supreme fighters, have trained for years to get their bodies in peak physical condition, and they're just some of the best hand-to-hand combat guys you can have. Batman probably is the best out of anybody, just with his, with everything he's trained in. But you look at Daredevil standing up to ninjas and all that kind of stuff. So that makes a lot of sense. Green Lantern, Silver Surfer, we've actually seen that before. That's cool. Wonder Woman and Thor. That's if you add a little romantic element to that, that might be kind of fun. That might be a little bit fun if they did that. But yeah, I like right. Justice League X-Men. Other ones that come to mind, Flash, Quicksilver. I mean, that's, you know, okay, let's, you know, Green Arrow and Hawkeye. Okay. You know, stuff like
all right,
that.
I wrote one down for you. Can you guess one half?
The Flash.
Okay. Here's who I want to see a crossover with the Flash.
Doctor Strange. Huh? Is this because you want him to beat Doctor Strange's ass to make up for Hero Madness, right? Is that what this is really about?
No, but think about the puzzling nature of the Flash to Doctor Strange. Like, how did you, with you turn time back? How'd you, right? Like,
yeah,
he'd
you
be
don't
confused.
Have a time stone. How did you do that?
How did you, right? Speed Force meets the time zone. Time zone. Pretty crazy, hey?
I like it. I love that. That's a really good one. I'm trying to think. Batman and Captain.
I mean, super. I want to hear your super. Like, I obviously Flash. I'm a Flash guy. I want to hear your Superman one. Much like I would love to hear Patrick's Spider-Man favorite, and then I would love to hear Ray talk about. Oh shit! What the fuck is it called again? What's the dinosaur movie? He loves the cartoon dinosaur movie.
Fern Gully.
Yeah, I'd love to see Ray's Fern Gully crossover. I was trying to make a joke, and Fern Gully totally left me.
Superman has done some really cool crossovers with Marvel in the past. The Superman Spider-Man one was excellently done. That's a phenomenal one. Superman and Fantastic Four was really good as well.
What about Superman and Sentry?
Oh my goodness. Superman versus Sentry.
I would feel like the story would more be Superman helping Sentry find his way, because Superman has done a good job of being able to accept the responsibility that his powers have given him without shying away from it. Whereas the Sentry, when it comes down to crunch time, he just doesn't mentally have the fortitude to adapt. And that's why we get the Void.
Yeah, exactly. I think that'd be a good one. Superman Hulk, there's been a few of those that have been done because people like to see them
definitely
throw down. Superman wins. Spoiler for you guys, it's every time they fought, it's a Superman victory. Batman and Captain America have always had a very interesting relationship in these crossovers. They fight each other, but nobody wins because they're like basically it's an even match and that sort of thing.
Like Hawkeye and Green Arrow would be
they're so similar, egotistical playboys, womanizers to a certain extent.
It'd be like the new Bad Boys movie or something. You know what I mean?
Neither one could accept that the other one is better than them. It would be soul crushing.
Like it's subtle nods of respect, right?
I tell you what would be fun. Would be Superman and Captain Marvel. That would be an interesting sort of crossover, not necessarily saying they have to fight each other, but that sort of thing. Darkseid and Thanos is the one that we only have seen that dabble a little bit in the comics. In the crossovers, they've had a few interactions with each other.
The ultimate good guy, buddy movie, Spider-Man and Flash.
Yeah, that would be, I could see that happening as well. The X-Men in Justice League is that's an easy one. I think, Fantastic Four and Defender, or not Defenders. I'm trying to think, like Fantastic Four Teen Titans would be fun as well. You know, that's kind of an interesting group sort of thing. But
what about Guardians of the Galaxy and Kamala? I'm trying to think of the other. I had DC side of that, not Kamala Khan. Who was the other one we just had in that rundown with Ms. Marvel? Who's the DC version of Ms. Marvel? She was in the. I'll go back and look at the article.
Oh, Naomi.
Naomi in the Guardians.
That'd be fun. That could be a very fun one. Losing my voice now. I tell you what, the one that I want to see that is not, I wish they would do this. It's not a DC Marvel crossover, but you asked about Superman. I want to see Superman throw down with Omni-Man.
You're going, sure, that'd be, we've talked about that before.
Homelander.
What about arguably the most culturally iconic characters, Batman and Spider-Man.
Yeah, they may. Yeah, I got to look and see. I suspect they've done something together before, but it doesn't mean you can't do it again. That sort of thing.
Right.
But turning out to what is actually happening with Batman and Deadpool and thinking about how that interacts, you could not, I mean, you look for like complementary sort of things. You could not pick two more disparate, just completely different individuals than Batman and Deadpool.
Well, you brought up like Daredevil and Batman and how like unique and, you know, like, and then you, like you just said, you know, almost the antithesis of each other, right? I kill for fun because I know I'm right. And I keep people alive because I uphold my moral standards.
Yeah. It's going to be, you know, it'd be like if Batman met Punisher or something like that, you know, oh my God, you know, it's just,
that's a great one too.
You know, that sort of thing. But yeah, I actually, because it is, and I want to support this. I really want it because I want it. So I urge anybody listening.
I want more crossovers. We want more crossovers. That's why.
Buy them both. Buy them both. It helps support Marvel and DC because they're going to be really good stories. And like Tony said, you want more of these crossovers because it starts with the comics. But then if you build this momentum in the right way, maybe somewhere down, especially if James Gunn can make the DC universe viable, profitable and popular, then you've got something where right now it makes no sense for Marvel, for Disney to say, yeah, let's do a crossover with DC. Why? They're garbage. You know, why would we do that?
But like you, said, for fans, it makes sense. Like whether you agree with any of the scenarios we put out there or you have your own scenario, go ahead and, you know, post it at us on X at Bandwagon Nerds. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you about it.
Give me Zatanna and Scarlet Witch. That would be wild. I mean, imagine that. Just those two together with all the power that they have, the magic power that they have. Man, that'd be fun. Phantom Stranger and Scarlet Witch. That might be interesting. I mean, there's a lot you can do. There's a lot you can really do. I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. So, again, we got Batman and Deadpool coming out. We'll try and keep you guys in the loop as to when that happens. I urge everybody, because the comic industry in general struggles a bit. We all know that. So the fact that these two giants are going to do this, I say go support them. Show them how much it means, because it'll just lead to bigger and better things.
We haven't even talked about bad guys teaming up from crossovers.
Oh, my. Yeah, I mean, you think about...
What about like the Joker and the Green Goblin?
Oh, my Lord. Just the insanity factor is off the charts in that one. I mean,
right?
I mean, the craziness that you would just get into, or Lex Luthor and Dr. Doom. Fuck those two egos. I almost made Tutty spit up his drink. Those two egos together. Holy shit. That I don't know if they could be in the same room with each other because their heads are too big, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, you just look at some of the more iconic villains who are out there that, we just did Villain Madness, and you think about the people who kind of like advanced and went on with that whole thing. I mean,
What about Loki and Gorilla Grodd, the brain power?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a great one as well. Or, I'm trying to think of something like Lobo and Juggernaut together.
Jesus. Destruction coming your way. Sunday.
$10 buys you your whole seat, but you'll only need the edge. Yeah.
I love it.
That's as good a place as any to cull the herd here. And I just think it's really awesome that this kind of snuck up on us, that we didn't really realize it until it was happening this week. Sort of like, wait, Marvel and DC are working together again. It's been 22 years. It's so awesome. And yeah, maybe it can't happen in the big screen yet, but this is a good precedent to set. And I think all we need is Gunn to establish the DC universe as a viable franchise. And who knows, maybe you get that crossover sometime in our lifetime. We'll see. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. Batman Deadpool coming out sometime this year. Keep your eyes open at your comic stores, digital platforms, whatever you want. And let's see if we can create a groundswell for some more of these great ideas, because
I think Harley Quinn should dump Poison Ivy for the Scarlet Witch. I'd be in on that one.
That's not a bad one. Or Elektra or something like that. That might be fun. Elektra Notches.
Well, I just really want Elizabeth Olsen and Margot Robbie to have a love connection.
You just want to see that on video, right? I mean,
it's another show, but dead ass.
All right. Before we cut out of here, we got to do our segment that we've been doing for a long time now. And we always end our shows talking about what you watching. Tunney, I'll go to you first, man. What you been watching this week?
I've been watching the same old stuff, to be honest with you. But what I did want to do is, instead of telling you, like giving you updates on the same shit I've been watching, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be watching. Let me run down the movies that are going to be in movie theaters for the rest of the summer. Are you ready? Next weekend, June 6th, we get Ballerina, the continuation from the John Wick story, right? Yep. That's fucking huge. June 13th, How to Train Your Dragon. Elio, the next Disney Pixar movie, comes out June 20th. In addition, 28 years later comes out June 20th. Yep. Megan 2.0 comes out June 27th. In addition to F1, the Brad Pitt racing movie. July 2nd, Jurassic World. July 11th, Superman. July 18th, the new version of I Know What You Did Last Summer. July 18th, also the new Smurfs movie. July 25th, we have the Fantastic Four. August 1st, The Bad Guys 2, and the new Naked Gun movie. August 8th, Freakier Friday, and August 15th, Nobody 2. It's going to be a huge summer, Dave. And I didn't even mention Happy Gilmore on your TV set.
That we talked about Happy Gilmore earlier. So yeah, it's going to be a massive, I'm telling you, July 2025, one of the biggest months for movies that I can ever remember. And I've been around longer than all of you guys have. Well, not everybody, but everybody on this show. So on my end, I finished Dune Prophecy season one, which is, I really like the show. It is very cerebral. It is very deep. I don't think Pat's watched it yet, but I know what a big fan of the Dune series he is. I imagine he will get to it. Love the cast of the people in there, the intrigue, just the political maneuvering between folks who are very powerful, financially, power-wise, that sort of thing. A lot of things that happened in the season finale, you didn't see that happening. And I love shows like that. So I finished that. Finished season four of Skinwalker Ranch. I'm not going to get too deep into that because we've got an episode of Unidentified History that are probably coming out this week where I want to talk to the guys about my experience at Contact in the Desert from earlier this week, a couple days ago. But I did get season five, and I got that on Fandango at home because I'm sick of ads, and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. Other than that, still watching Three Body Problem, which is very good. And trying to get through with that, and just, yeah, I mean, a lot of that, of course, The Last of Us, we talked about that earlier, which really, was an excellent season finale. I thought, yeah, I know the cliffhangers, you guys hate cliffhangers, but it makes for good TV, you know, so just get over it. It is what it is, but that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Hey, Tunney, can you hit that boo button? Just one more time, just once more.
Sorry.
That's for you, Ray. We love you. We miss you. I wish you would have been here today because I could have used you in a few. We could have used you in a few places, but, you know, got better things to do than hang out with losers like us, I guess, Tunney. But, you know, let people know, where can they check you out on social media and all across the interwebs and thechairshot.com.
Yeah. Make sure you check everything Chairshot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms. Follow me at PC Tunney. And if you want my attention, shout out at X on the X platform there.
I'm just looking. I clicked on something else. The top 10 best Batman crossovers of all time. You ready for this? I'll list them. Spider-Man and Batman, number 10. So they did team up. Spawn and Batman. Now, there you go. Now,
That's pretty cool.
I'm glad we actually did this because there's an image DC crossover. So there's precedent for that. Can we get Omni-Man and Superman? I mean, Frank Miller and Todd McFarlane did that. Holy shit, that's awesome. Batman, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We've all heard about that one. That's one that, okay, I forgot about them. What is First Wave? I don't know who Batman is teeping up with there. All right, we'll keep going. Batman, The Shadow, The Murder. I don't know what this. Batman teaming up with.
The Shadow.
Batman in the Shadow. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Wow. Oh. Only the Shadow knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men.
Here's one. Batman versus Predator. I might have to check that one out. Because if anybody can put the Predator in his place, it is the Dark Knight. Batman, Judge Dredd. Okay. Judgment on Gotham. That sounds fun. Batman and Grendel. Why? We're getting dark here. Planetary and Batman Night on Earth. Okay. Number one, Batman.
Intergalactic Planetary.
You're going to love number one, Tony. You're going to love it.
Batman and the Flash.
Patrick will love it. Oh, they're both DC. Batman. Get this. Batman and Elmer Fudd.
Wabbit season. It's Wabbit season.
Bat season. Wabbit season. Bat season. Wabbit season. Bat season. Before I give you mine, I did want to know, Pat did send us something about Chris Hemsworth and a video that kind of resurfaced. It had been done like 3 years ago, actually. Chris Hemsworth, before Love and Thunder came out, leading to a lot of speculation that Chris Hemsworth is not going to survive Avengers Doomsday. It's a little bit early to be breaking out the Deadpool for Avengers Doomsday, since it doesn't come out for a very long time now. I'll ask you this, Tony. Are you going to be that surprised if Thor does not survive Avengers Doomsday?
I don't. I'm looking forward to Avengers Doomsday. I could give a shit if fucking Thor survives or not. What I could care about is whether or not it makes sense if he comes to his own demise.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I would not be surprised. I mean, Thor not making it out. If you're looking
it's a lot of irony, though, to be honest with you.
In what way?
That we're going to kill this character because we don't want anybody else to play it. But yet his brother's going to fucking recast Henry Cavill's character in The Witcher. And I got to watch that shit to fucking be on this show. Oh, sorry. I didn't get angry there for a second at all.
So bitter. So bitter, kids. look, if you're looking for to make the most dramatic impact possible, to bridge between Doomsday and Secret Wars, killing off one of the only remaining big three, you know, that makes a lot of sense. I would not be surprised to see Thor die off in Avengers Doomsday, but we'll wait until we get closer to the movie so we can play the Deadpool and that sort of thing. But anyway, I thought about that as we were coming out of here, because Pat sent that to us this morning, said I might want to add it. I did read it. It's interesting. I think right now I'd say the odds are 60-40 that Thor does not make it out of Doomsday. I think it makes for great cinema. If that, that gut-wrenching moment, I got to relive that, especially if fucking Doom's the one who kills him. If Robert Downey Jr. is the one who takes Chris Hemsworth out of the MCU, oh my God. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Social media information for me, you can follow me on X and on Blue Sky at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. And of course, make sure you are checking out the show on its official X account at Bandwagon Nerds. And if we've said anything that pisses you off this week, if we upset you, you know who you can send your hate tweets to this week. It's at It's Ray Cash. R-A-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars, in case you don't know. Thank you. We love you, Ray. We really do, but you kind of brought this on yourself today. So, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Our fearless leader, Mr. O'Dowd, will come back next week, and I'm sure he will tell us why we were wrong on multiple places. Maybe he'll give us some information about Squid Game, Tunney is going to be watching it, why I need to watch it. It should be a good time. I'm going to tell you guys right now, expect a lot of Disney stories, a lot of drinking, going on this Disney cruise.
Can I just say I've never been more proud of my good friend, Patrick O'Dowd.
He really, I mean, for those of us who, I have lived vicariously through him on this cruise, without the hangover. But man, that guy, just the pictures he has sent us, I can't wait for the stories. It's going to be a good time. Pat will be back next week. It'll be fun. We are getting very close to at least Ironheart coming out. We'll see if there's any more trailers that come out this week that we didn't cover. But until next time, kids, get yourself out of the basement. Get some sun, unless it's too damn hot where you are like we are. In that case, stay in the shade. Watch some movies. Watch Squid Game, final season. Watch the first four seasons of Stranger Things if you've got like a week to burn. But until next week, when Patrick returns, maybe we'll even get Ray to come back so we can get some cheers. Keep our fingers crossed. That's going to do it for this edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Until next time, nerds everywhere, you guys stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
Te dije, si yo veo a alguien con mi mujer, lo mató.
¿De qué eso está viejo y podrido? ¿Dónde está el sanitario?
You're right, Issy. She's not worth it.
Yeah, the vato's got a point.
She ain't worth it, Holmes!
Come here, look.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.